Okay, David, thank you very much. The recording has started. You may begin the call.
Thank you, Brenda. Hello again, everybody, and welcome. It's David McCauley speaking. Welcome to the IoT call. And Bernie, thank you very much for confirming we have, we've technically got enough folks to continue on. And so looking at the agenda, I'd first like to mention that before we get to number two on the agenda, I'm going to make a quick request of Liz and Sam, if she joins by then, that I mentioned to them in an email, but I did not put on this because it just occurred to me too late. But let's begin with admin. If there's anybody that's participating on the phone who's not in the Zoom room, indicated in the Zoom room, would they please make themselves known now? I don't hear anyone trying to do that. So let me ask if there are any participants here who have a change to indicate to their, excuse me, to their statement of interest. I don't hear any, and I'm looking now for hands up, but I don't see any. So let's press on. Before we get to number two, and I'm not sure if Samantha's joined us, but Liz, could I ask you, please, just if you could comment briefly on whether there's any movement or plans with respect to the establishment of the standing panel. And I ask for it to be brief in this sense. It's not something that the IoT has a formal role in. Obviously, we've discussed that before, but it's something that we're interested in. And we encourage, of course, those of us ourselves who are in the IoT to help our respective supporting organization or advisory committee as they work towards the establishment of a standing panel under the bylaw. So Liz, are you able to say anything about that?
Yes, I can, David. So this is Liz Lay for the record. So there have been some administrative movements on this effort since we visited this issue, I think it was in Puerto Rico. What we did was created a mailing list, and we've also created a community wiki page, or are in the process of creating a wiki community wiki page, and we intend to port over all the materials to date that have been created with respect to this effort over there. We also have created a document that summarizes the outcomes and conversations that we had in Panama City, and that's something that we will port over and publish on the community wiki probably next week or so, as well as some questions that that came up in the discussions, for example, relating to the need to seek outside expertise regarding vetting of applicants and whatnot, to invite participants to communicate. With respect to, the mailing list, we've created a mailing list, and we intend to reach out to the participants of the Puerto Rico session to see if they want to be a part of this mailing list. And we also invite any members of the IRP IoT, if they want to be a part of this mailing list, to let us know. So what we'll do is just following this call in the next couple of days, more likely in next week, we'll send out a list inviting the people the opportunity to opt in if they want to be part of the mailing list.
Excuse me. Thank you, Liz. I'm happy to hear that we, the participants here, will be on the mailing list, because as I said, we hopefully will be helping each of our respective organizations as they come to work on this. Liz, one brief question. Are there any plans for anything at ICANN 62?
I think that was something that was discussed at the last meeting. Not the last meeting, but I think that going into ICANN 61, it was discussed that it made sense to have something at ICANN 62. So, I would look to see what your thoughts are about that. But I think it makes sense to have something at ICANN 62. At anything, it's an opportunity, again, for a face-to-face meeting to further discuss this issue.
Thanks, Liz. To respond, my personal thoughts are yes, any activity to move this forward, to get it dislodged and moving forward is a good thing. If other members wish to, as participants, weigh in, you're welcome to do so. Please raise your hand and we be brief, and then we'll move on to the repose, excuse me, the repose language issue on the agenda. So I will now look for hands. I don't see any, so thanks, Liz. And let's move to the next item on the agenda, the repose language for public comment.
Did you see my hand?
I'm sorry. Caboose, I hear your voice, but I did not see your hand. I see it now. Caboose, go ahead and take the floor.
Thank you very much. And question one, do we have a quorum?
The answer to that is yes.
At least five.
Yes.
I don't know, call them participant, attendance, or whatever you call them. We have five at least, right?
I believe we do, yes.
I can staff, yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. I think I can staff as a participant in this group, but I know that there's Aubrey, Greg, myself, you, Robin. We're definitely at quorum.
Yes, and Malcolm is not there?
Malcolm, I don't see him. I'm sure he may join, but I don't see him yet.
I'm not an expert with Zoom.
But
Okay. And second question is that, do we have any reply from the SO and AC regarding the panel?
That would be a question. Thanks, Caboose. That would be a question better addressed to Liz, because ICANN staff is engaged in helping to bring that process on. So Liz, do you have anything to say?
Yes, so this is Liz. We have not received any replies from the SOs and ACs. As you know, at the last time that we discussed this with them, they acknowledged that they had a lot to think about, because this is the first type of cross-community effort as this that they are engaged in and experiencing. So they needed to take it back to their organizations and figure out what is the next step forward. So we've not heard back from them since then. But what we're hoping to do as part of this community wiki and the mailing list is to reinvigorate this discussion and to pose some questions that were thrown out during our meetings, and so that there can be a re-engagement on this effort.
Thanks, Liz. Sounds good.
Is it possible to send a reminder to all those SO and ACs that this is a message that we have to wrap up, if possible, at ICANN 62, or at least to know the position of it? As far as I know, there has been no movement in GAC, as far as I know. Maybe I have not followed everything, but perhaps a reminder to the chair of this would clarify the matter, maybe by through the email to us or to our next meeting. So we would like to know what is the situation. As far as the GAC is concerned, I have not seen any movement on that regard.
Caboose, this is David McCauley speaking again. I'll let Liz comment in a second, but I'll tell you that I participate in CCNSO and in GNSO through the Registry Stakeholder Group, and that's one thing I'm encouraging us to do, is I've been active in making those organizations aware of this and trying to help them get organized to work on this. So what you're saying with respect to the GAC is we would... my personal hope, this is not as leader of this group, Caboose, is that you will, work with Manal and make sure that the GAC is aware that this is coming and prepare, sort of plow the road for what's coming from ICANN staff on getting this thing moving. Liz, do you have any comments on that?
I think you put it precisely. And I also, I think that once we also get this mailing list going, it will help with the movement. And a reminder to everyone that this is something that is should be a priority.
Thank you, Liz. And Caboose, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Liz, if you send a reminder to them, I will make any necessary follow-up actions. Yeah, if you repeat the reminder to them or you just re-forward what you have sent before, I will take it with Manal and the GAC leadership that please prepare something, because now we're preparing our agenda for this GAC 62, or ICANN 62, and then we push that, please put in the agenda that we should have a reply on that, or whatever process that we have to take, if you not complete reply, but the initiation of action. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. It's David speaking again. And Liz, I hope that you can look into that. And let's move to the issue of repose language for public comment. This is that issue that deals with a couple calls ago, Sam indicated that ICANN agreed that maybe the best way forward here on Rule 4, time for filing, is to go ahead and put the revised rule as per Malcolm's iteration of it out for public comment, because it was such a material change from the procedures, the supplementary procedures that were originally drafted and put out for public comment. And so what I did, and Brenda has it on the screen now, is offer to take a stab at, you know, the nub of the language. Obviously, there would be introductory language about, you know, public comments, et cetera, what this is, Bernie, and will help get that wrapped up. But this would be sort of the operative language of a public comment. And I put this out on the email list, and you can see the language in front of you, and you probably saw it on the email list. And Malcolm, who's not on the call, as I see, had a concern. And his concern was let me read it from, I'm having a hard time with the screen here. So let me just read it from my printout here. What I had written was, in the language, and it's about halfway down, I said, it appeared to the IRP IoT that while there was qualified support expressed for this kind of time limitation, there was more criticism of it as unfair and unduly restrictive. And that's making reference to the original time for filing rule that we had. Malcolm was concerned with that language that I had drafted and said it didn't fairly characterize it. And he would use verbiage like it was overwhelming. The people that were critical of this were overwhelming. And I thought it was a fair point he made, but I would sort of reply back and say, speaking as a participant now, the word overwhelming is sort of a mischaracterization. And so my suggestion here, subject to discussion, is I should take out that language that I used of trying to qualify the level of support or non-support, et cetera, and simply make it a factual statement and say something along these lines. There were X number of public comments. Of those, there were Y number of comments that criticized the time for filing that we originally drafted, and here are links to each of those statements. And there was one Z comment that was supportive of that time for filing, and here's a link to that statement. And so that would be my suggestion here, but I'm going to open it up and see if people have other ways to try and polish off this language so that we can come up with something that we can put out for public comment to get it out quickly before people leave for the summer doldrums, and yet address Malcolm's concern that I put a qualitative statement in there that's probably that he believed was not justified. Does anybody want to make a statement about this or make a comment? I'm looking for hands, and I'm not most adept at Zoom yet, but.
David, I had a comment that you changed the text. The text that was on the screen was a different text, saying that this time should not be more than a year from the time that the claimant is aware of any such action or inaction. I just give you an example. Suppose that an action or an inaction occurred on the 1st January 2019. And the claimant be aware of that on the 31st of December, 2019. So, what is the situation of 45 days or 120 days, and what is the situation of 1 year? So, because it says that within 45 days from the date that the claimant become aware of of effect of or impact of that action or inaction. In my example, 1st of January, something had happened. The claimant will be aware of that 31st of December of the same year, that is 12 months. And then how the 45 days or 120 days is counted and how the 1 year will be counted. This is the most extreme way and most pessimistic way. But at least we have to discuss that. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. I guess I'm not sure that we do need to discuss that. Part of the struggle I'm having is with the Zoom screen, and I just can't see all the language at once. But basically, what the language that I came up with is meant to say is this to the people looking at it for public comment. It's along these lines. We, as an IOT, originally drafted a time for filing rule that said that somebody should file a claim within 45 days, but in no event later than 12 months from whatever we said. And I say to the folks, that's what we drafted, and here's a link to it. You can go see it for yourself. And then I go on and say, but it appeared to us as a team and after our discussions that was, and after public comment, that there was a great deal of criticism of this. And so we took a new look, and as a consequence, there is now a proposal to change the time for filing rule. And that change would be the language that Malcolm proposed. And basically that language is that we're suggesting is now out for new public comment, that an independent review should be commenced when the claimant files a statement of a dispute. And the claimant should do that no more than 120 days after they become aware or ought reasonably to have been aware of the material effect. And that's it. That's all. So we really don't get into that discussion that you were mentioning. And so I think it's just sort of a straight explication to the folks. We had this rule. There was a lot of criticism of it. We're now moving to this new rule. What do you think of this new rule? Please exercise your right to make a public comment. We will then consider them. That's all that's really on offer here. Malcolm's objection to what I suggested was really to my characterization of saying the public comments had qualified criticism of the old one. He thought that was an understatement, and it should say overwhelming criticism. I think his point's fair, but I don't think overwhelming is a fair statement either. And so hopefully that explains what I'm attempting to do. So your hand is up, Caboose. Is that a new hand?
Yes, because I agree with the part of the 150 days, but I have still some concern about the open-ended process.
Within
120
Thank you.
Days, yes. And then how long? After 3 years, it comes what happened. If after 3 years there is no such raising hand, what will happen? Still, we can take that into account, or we put some time limit on that. Maybe 1 year was not sufficient, but at least you have to see what will happen this time. I'm just raising the question. Do we?
No, it's a fair.
Are we going for the totally free, open-ended, or we put some limit?
I think it's a fair question, Caboose. I think it's for another time, but I have a cue. Liz is next. So Liz, why don't you go ahead and speak?
Thanks, David. So this is Liz Legg for the record on behalf of ICANN organization. And I think this might also dovetail or piggyback on what Caboose is saying is, as we've indicated, ICANN objections to not having, to eliminating a statute of repose altogether, which previously as under the version that went out for public comment, that was that, you know, a claim has to be filed no more than 12 months from the date of such action or inaction. And so we've indicated, we intend on submitting a minority statement, setting on record our objection to the fact that there is no outer limit of when a claim should be filed.
Liz, thanks. And I understand that, but I just want to, let me try and clarify something. I believe that what Sam said a couple weeks ago was that you ICANN organization are prepared for, I'll call it the Malcolm draft, for lack of a better term, for that to go out to public comment. And so Am I correct in that understanding?
In terms of this issue going out for public comment, you know, you're correct. I mean, we think that it is a substantive material change that should go out for public comment.
Right. And so my understanding is that what you all were saying is you're prepared to see it go out for public comment. It will go out for public comment. You will append a minority statement and or a public comment to the issue at the appropriate time. And as Caboose was indicated, you know, other people may consider making a public comment on this. I know that there are others that may consider making a public comment on this. So that's fine. But with respect to coming up with the language that would deposit this whole issue into the public comment sphere, are you okay with what I suggested a few moments ago? That is that we use the language that I sent to the group in my mail of Tuesday, but changing it based on Malcolm's observation about the, you know, the qualitative language, changing it so that it now would read along the lines of saying there were X number of public comments, this number were in support, this one was against, here's links, go read them, we're asking for your public comment. Are you objecting to anything in that approach?
No, David, I'm not objecting. I actually prefer that the way that you're proposing to change it, because it you know, to say that there was an overwhelming position one way or the other out of public comment versus for you to now provide the numbering or more or less characterize it in terms of categories of comments received, to me it seems more accurate and aligned with the comments that were received.
Okay, thanks, Liz. I still have a cue. Greg, I believe I'm the Caboose. I don't know the order. I can't tell from Zoom, but I'm going to call on Greg first since he hasn't spoken yet. Greg, you have the floor.
Thanks. It's Greg Shatton for the record. At least as I read this, I would not characterize this as an open-ended time period, because in addition to the actual awareness, we have the ought reasonably to have been aware, or what we call scienter in kind of U.S. jurisprudence, so that if the complainant should have been aware of this and sat on their rights, then their claim is time barred. I realize that that's, you know, goes into the mind of the, well, it doesn't really go into the mind because it's a reasonableness test. So the question is whether this was, you know, say reasonably public or reasonably publicized or should have reasonably been known by someone in the situation of the plaintiff. So we don't need to know whether the plaintiff was actually aware or actually unaware, just that they should have been aware. And so maybe this can be also an impetus to making sure that, you know, in terms of transparency and availability of information, that it's clear that there's a high degree of awareness. Or should be awareness of actions that could be challenged by the IRP. You know, this avoids kind of a submarine claim, or avoids being unable to go after something which was unknown to everyone and could not have been known to anybody or anybody in the position of the complainant, while still maintaining an end period to this, or a way to have an end. This is not just an open-ended type of thing where a claim can be brought at any time. So I think it's not quite as neat and clean as saying that 12 months, so that there's like essentially a statute of limitations, you know, that's just based on the ticking of a clock and nothing more. But I don't think it's really accurate to say that it's open-ended either. Thanks.
Oh, goodness. I'm sorry about that. Greg, thank you. Fair point. I think some of these points are for the point of the consultation. I see Aubrey's comment that Greg got very quiet all of a sudden. I didn't experience that. I heard Greg clearly the whole time, Aubrey. Caboose, I see your hands up, but so is Bernie. And Bernie oftentimes has a process point that might help shape the conversation. So if you don't mind, I'm going to ask Bernie to speak first, and I'll come to you, Caboose.
Okay.
Bernie,
no go ahead. Problem. Go ahead.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. Can you hear me, David?
Yes, indeed, Bernie.
I was less of a process point, but you know, I would think that Malcolm would find your suggestion in response to his comment to be fair, but given it's not a lengthy change, I think once you write it out, Malcolm will give us his response via email rather quickly, and I think it would be fair as a process point that if you put it out and give him 24 hours to respond, that he should be able to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie, and I will try and do that. It probably won't be until tomorrow, but I'll try and get something out on that. Caboose, you have the floor.
Yes, I was about to type something. I have no problem with that, provided that in the qualifier or the qualifying sentence, you when you refer that you receive the public comments and the pros and cons and everything, and then this is the text you put for the public comment, you add at the end the following text. This process or this procedure implies that after 21 days from the date becomes aware of that, no statement will be taken into account. You make it quite clear for the people that they know the consequence of these 120 days. I don't think that it is not open-ended, and I don't think that it is totally open-ended, but you have to clarify that. It is understood that after these 120 days, no more or any statement, if it comes, will not be taken into account. Make it clear for the respondent to this public comment. In the qualifying centers or qualifiers. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. When you first started mentioning that, I thought you were actually talking about 21 days after the public consultation started. You're talking about the rule itself.
I talk about rule itself. When you talk about rules, I have no problem. But add in the qualifier that this implies that after these 120 days, any statement in that regard will be ignored or will not be taken into account.
Thanks, Caboose. I think that's a fair point to make in the public consultation, but right now we're limited by two things. One is we have a rule that we originally published that we're deviating from or potentially deviating from. And so that rule that was originally published, whenever it was published, it is what it is, and we can't really change it. With respect to the new rule, the Malcolm language, that, as I refer to it, and it, where it does mention 120 days, we've all come to agreement already that this language could be floated. In other words, if we get back into a substantive discussion about it, we're going to unduly delay things. And so that's why I'm saying I expect that this would be a fair public comment. The other thing I would say is when we say something would be ignored or language that would take that effect, it would be as a rule, it would be a direction to the panel, and who knows what they'll do with that. All I can say right now is I think that we have two bodies of language in front of us that we have to stick with and get out the public comment and make points like you just made in the public comments or when we come back and consider the public comments. But I think if you strongly believe that way, you would be wise to make a public comment along those lines. Does anybody else want to have anything to say about that? And I've got to look through the list here. I don't see any hands, but Caboose, yours is still up. Do you still want to make a comment?
Yes, I think the five people that are not sufficient to make this. The point that I'm raising is very valid point. That you make it clear for the people that after 120 days, if there is any statement, that statement would not be taken into account. Make it quite clear that if I don't know why you reject that idea. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. Let me address it on the list. I'm not really rejecting it. I'm simply saying does it fit for the public consult, or is it something to, a statement to be made in the public consult? But let me consider it. Let me think about it and come to the list shortly and mention it. I won't lose sight of your comment. In fact, I've made a note about it. So it sounds to me, unless anybody here objects, and I'll put this on list, is that we've found a way to come up with a nub of, oh, Greg, I'm sorry, I see your hand is now up. Go ahead and take the floor.
No, I lowered the hand.
No, Greg. Greg,
okay,
Shatton.
Yeah, I lowered the hand. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
Greg, go.
Thanks.
Go ahead.
Greg Shatton, for the record. You know, I think, you know, Cavusa's, I tend to support Cavusa's idea of, you know, clarifying that, you know, that at the end of the 120 days, a claim is time barred. I think, you know, that would be the way I, as you know, would phrase it in my jargon. So, you know, just to be clear that we do have that. I don't know how much we want to kind of explicate the rule, but, you know, it is kind of a two-step process to get to the time bar. First, you have to have either the date of actual awareness or the date of constructive awareness, and then you count 120 days from there, and then the time bar is effective. So I don't know if we need to kind of maybe explain that in plainer English. This, you know, is intended to be phrased as a rule. And sometimes rules, especially when they're phrased among other rules, make sense, but yet they don't lend themselves to easy comments by those who are not kind of in love with reading procedural rules like me.
Thanks, Greg. I guess I have the same reaction as I did to Cavusa. I think it's a fair point. But the rule, the Malcolm language that I refer to, basically says that the statement shall be filed with the ICDR, the language is, no more than 120 days after a claimant becomes aware or ought reasonably to have become aware. And so it seems to me that it's clear that this is a time limitation. I take Cavusa's point, you know, that we need to be stronger here and say, you know, absolute bar or whatever it is. But what I'm trying to do is get us finished with respect to making something out for public comment. We've had this language in front of us for a while. And so I think these are fair areas for people to make public comment, I guess is what I'm saying. But I do want to sort of come up with something that we can release. One of the things that is in the back of my mind is, if we release this for public comment on the 1st of July, it's people are gone. I think it's in our interest, it's in IoT, and it's a responsible act on our part to get something like this out for public comment fairly quickly, so people can comment on it. So that's why I'm trying to come to an agreement as to the nub of the language. So there's more hands. I'm sorry. Excuse me. There's more hands in the queue. Let me just take a look and see who's in the queue here. Okay, Cavusa, your hand's up. Why don't you go ahead?
Excuse me, it was a mistake. I lowered the hand before, yeah.
Okay, Greg, you is this a new hand?
No, it's a new hand. I'm just listening to you. No hand.
Oh, no. Okay.
This is Greg. Yeah, just a brief reply. I was not suggesting, at least I was not suggesting, changing the actual proposed rule. You know, that begins with four, time for filing. That can stay as it is. The question is whether in putting this out for public comment, typically there's an explanation or backgrounder that kind of goes out with the public comment that's posted on the public comment page. And then the actual thing being commented on is, you know, reachable through a link, although maybe it doesn't need to be if this is this short. So I'm saying that in kind of the explanatory text that you have here as kind of the first couple of bullets is a little, could be fleshed out a bit to point out that the effect of this rule is that 120 days after the either date the complaint is then barred by time and can no longer be brought by that claim.
Thanks, Greg. This is David again. excuse me. To be honest with you, I had not anticipated doing a explanation, and so I guess I'll make two comments in that respect. First, I'll ask Bernie if he'll comment when I'm done, whether what his thoughts are on that, and then I'll say secondly that it was my belief that what I would do is put it out pretty much as it's there on the screen, I think, and as I put in that mail. And it would have links. It would have links to the old rules and to the whatever, you know, to the public comments individually. These are the folks that said yes. This is the folks that said no. But to me, it seems clear. And my concern is that if I get into an explanatory note, it will take us, the IoT, a long time to agree on an explanatory note. So, Bernie, what do you think? I mean, you are sort of the expert in process and how public comments go on. At least you're more aware of it than I am. Could I ask you if you have a comment on this?
I think Greg had a good point. Announcement, you have to understand a public comment is a two-parter. The first part is the announcement, which exactly as it states, announces the public consultation, and there is a summary of what is expected, what will be the process once the thing wraps up, some general background information, useful links, and maybe a bit of explanation about why we're holding the public consultation. So I guess that there's plenty of opportunity in there to insert some text. I think that, what I would say is simply dropping the text that is on the file right now as the main document for the public consultation would probably also require a bit of wrapping just to situate it in the supplementary rules where it was originally and where it might end up with, just to give the readers a bit of reference. So I'm uncertain if that answers your question.
It does. I'm just concerned with a bit of explanation because I just don't see us agreeing.
David, don't be surprised. The way that I suggested and the way that Greg explained that and the way that Bernie said that, nothing wrong if you put in the background that now there is a firm 120 days for the claimant to raise the flag. And we add beyond that, any statement would not be considered in the background, but not in the rule. Rule is separate. In the background, we mention that, and nothing prevents us to make such explanation or explanatory notes in the background or in the announcement. I don't see any difficulty to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. And so in light of those three statements, I will take a stab at doing what Bernie, I think, just laid out. Bernie, I'm going to look to you for the sort of the boilerplate language, if you know what I mean. But I will try and come up with sort of the background and bit of explanation with the suggestion that Cavus just made. So I'll do that on the list, probably come out early next week. And hopefully that will not be controversial. Does anyone disagree that with the idea of getting this out for public comment fairly quickly? That's obviously what's motivating me to try and push this along. Is there anyone that thinks that's not a good idea? I actually think it's probably something that's just obvious. It's in everybody's interest, the community's interest, to get this out for public comment quickly. So let's do that. And I think we can draw a line then under agenda item number two. I see two more hands. at least. Let me look. Okay. Greg, go ahead. Your hand's up.
Thanks. Just two things briefly. One, I think it's not only desirable but necessary to get this out sooner rather than later. Secondly, I would also say that typically the explanation, the wrapping, as Bernie calls it, typically in my experience has been drafted by staff. So you may want to ask Bernie just to draft the whole thing and not just the boilerplate. But that's kind of between you and Bernie. I'm just saying that it's not typically something that gets approved on the list or tortured and worried over by the group for weeks on end. It usually just kind of appears there. And staff is expected to, roll the ball down the middle of the lane and explain it, and they do. So I don't think we should get too exercised about whether the group is going to end up, going nuts on this. I'd even suggest that unless you want the group to see it, and that's perfectly fine, that this could just be done the usual way, and let staff prepare the wrapping for this. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. That sounds good to me. I'd be interested in Bernie's observation. I guess I was just struggling with where a staff responsibility and the line demarcating the differences. But Bernie, if you care to comment, please do.
I'm just helping you with your struggle, David.
Thanks, Greg.
Greg is essentially correct. Given it's just wrapping or announcement language, staff is usually charged with that. They produce a draft, and the person is responsible for the public consultation, meaning yourself, in this case, David, have a look at it and sign off on it, and then we send it off for publication.
Okay, that sounds good to me. I will take a stab then at that language that Malcolm was concerned with. That is, where I said qualified support, he said overwhelming. There's a difference of opinion there. I'll take a stab at that, making it simply a factual discussion with links who supported what. So good. I think now we can draw a line under this issue. I'll look for hands. I don't see any. And we can move to agenda item. Thanks, everybody, for your comments on that. We can move to agenda item number 3. And so, Liz, I haven't seen that Sam's joined, but Liz, would you like to comment? Let me set that up. This way, Sam and Liz sent to the list just prior to the last call a document that took the old supplementary procedures and created a red line version of them, trying to map the changes that we had agreed to. And was saying, why don't we use this in order to get to interim rules that we can get out in use, which is a wonderful idea, I think. And that was the idea that I was approaching in the two bucket thing. And so, Liz, I know that in the last call, you all expressed some concern with translation and joinder, but I haven't seen anything on list about it since. And so I'm wondering, where are we on that? Could you comment on where you think things are with respect to this red line proposal? And then I have a question, and we'll see if there's anyone else that has a question about it.
Sure, David. I'm not sure. I need a little bit of clarity in terms of where we are with this red line proposal. Are you talking with respect to joinder and translation?
Thanks, Liz. Actually, I was talking about the entire document. Let me state just a little bit further. In the last call, as I recall, I know that I had read through the document and I've also read it again. It strikes me as a fair document overall, totally, with one exception. And that, I'm not saying it's unfair, but Malcolm was wondering about rule number 4. And I guess my question would be, I'll pose my question now and then ask you to talk about the whole document, especially translation and joinder. The question I have is, the approach that I had suggested was that we get out the rules that we've agreed on, and then you and Sam said, let's call them interim rules. I think that's fine. But okay. if we did that, we would release the rules that we've agreed on. And in your red line, you're also going to release rule 4, time for filing, which we haven't agreed on. And so that was my question, is how, you know, what do you intend there? I think Malcolm made a point about it in the last call. And then secondly, I was going to ask you, where are we on translation and joinder with respect to changes that you would like to make to this? I'm personally stating that I think it's a great idea that we get the first bucket of rules out, those that we agree on, so that we can show progress, we can get things behind us, and then we can narrow those things that we're working on, amongst which those rules, we've made a fair amount of progress. So go ahead. Thanks, Liz.
Sure. So I think with respect to the rule four, the current version that we have, as you see, has made notation on there in the comments that this is going, we're anticipating that there's still some level guidance is needed, and that there's anticipated that it's going to go out for public comment. And that, you know, whatever the results will come out of our final decision, that will be that final set of rule will be incorporated into the final set of rules. So I don't know if that answers your question on whether or not we leave this in here. I think what we had wanted to do, the idea of an interim set of rules that we were putting out were really the procedures that we have as a group agreed upon, and really has been very slight immaterial changes to what was put out for public comment, and that's no material changes would expand on the rules that were out for public comment. That would be the interim rules, right? With respect to joinder, we thought that the issue was resolved when it was discussed on, I believe, our January 11th, 2018 meeting. And it was, again, the last call, it was brought up again, but I, you know, on that meet, during that meeting, and I believe that Malcolm was not there in attendance of that meeting, I can provide it on the record its position with respect to joinder, which is essentially I believe it was related to hearings. With respect to hearings, it should remain the rule that was set out for public comment, right? Because that was something that was previously debated before. I'm not sure where we are, to be honest with you, with translation. And I think with respect to joinder, you'll have to, we have it set out in the red line document that we set up what the proposed joinder language is that I thought we as a group came to agreement on.
So thanks, Liz. It's David McCauley speaking again, and I see Caboose's hand is up. Before I get to Caboose, let me just react a little bit. And so I'm just a slight bit confused still. So I guess with respect to joinder, when I read through what you did, I didn't really have any problem with it, but I'll reread it again. With respect to types of hearings, I thought we had reached agreement too, but then Malcolm put a straw man out, which was perhaps too detailed. And it's something I need to do is to try and take Malcolm's document. I haven't done this yet, but to try and get out of it the principles, and if there's I don't think it's really that much different than the rule that we've agreed. So on types of hearings, we're not of agreement yet. We can say that when we want to put out one bucket of rules, those that we've agreed on, I think that it's fair to say we haven't yet agreed on types of hearings. I will look at the January 18th meeting that you mentioned and see where we stand. But with respect to translation, I think you and Sam were going to, I thought we had a reached agreement, but I think you and Sam want to do some clarification or something. And so we're looking to you to send along those thoughts. with respect to joinder, I think we may be of agreement. As I said, let me look at your language in the red line one more time. It struck me as being fine, but I need to look at it again and then comment back. But I'm going to invite others to comment too. And then with respect for the time for filing, your red line, I'm wondering what the thinking is in putting out a rule four right now when it's going out for public comment. In other words, when I said the two bucket rule, the two bucket approach, the first bucket being those rules we've agreed on, you're making a slight variation to that and saying let's put out all the rules, but indicate where there's not agreement. Is that a fair reading of what you're doing?
So, hi, David. So, yeah, I think that's the intent. And, you know, I mean, that's something that we welcome input from the group on is whether or not we should go ahead and put it in with the indication as we have that there's no agreement yet, or whether because it's going out for public comment, it should not be included in the interim rule. We'd be interested to hear what the group has to say. And then with respect to the types of hearing, again, I do want to just say that when we discussed it at our the meeting in January, Malcolm Strawman had already been circulated on list. So that was the intent, was to discuss that, and we did touch upon that at that hearing. Like I said, I recognize Malcolm was not there at that hearing, but I do know that we put our ICANN's position on the record, and looking at the transcript, so did Caboose.
Okay.
I will circle back with Sam on the translation issue.
Please do, and come to list with what your thoughts are on that. Caboose, let me go to Caboose. His hand has been up for a while, and then others. I'm asking if others, please, would like to weigh in. Go ahead, Caboose.
David, this is Caboose speaking from record. I think the explanation which was given was not quite clear. Many, many words were said, but we were not clear. What we wanted to put as an interim rules. I don't agree that they put something as interim rules for which we say that among the group or inside the group, there is not yet agreement. At least we must agree ourselves and then waiting for public comments, if any, and then saying that this is the end. So I think what you want to put as an interim rules? I think rules four will be there. I understand that rules four would be as an interim because it is quite clear. What other rules that we have some doubt about that? You said that there is no agreement or you have to. If there is no agreement, we could try to do one or two meetings and try to get agreement or consensus of the meeting and then put all these things in interim rule. Interim rule must be at least agreed by us, the group. But not something which has not been agreed. It is not an interim rule if still there are divergences of views among the very limited number of the people in this group. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. I think you make a fair point that the interim rule should only be those that are agreed by the group. I'll give the floor to Liz again in a moment, but Caboose, you gave, if I heard you correctly, you gave as an example of a clear rule, rule four. I think it's rule four that is the one that's questionable for an interim rule, because it seems to me that there's not agreement on that rule. And that's why it's going back out for public comment. And I think if I heard Liz correctly, there was a concern on Liz's part that we not put out as an interim rule four what I've been referring to as the Malcolm language that, you know, we're putting out for public comment. I certainly wouldn't think that would go out as the rule, because for the same thing I just said about Caboose's comment, it's subject to public comment. If I have any of that wrong, please let me know. But Liz, your hand is next, so you go ahead.
I'm sorry, that was an old hand.
Okay. Is there any further comment? I'm sorry, go ahead, Caboose.
Yes, if the rule four, which is going to be public comment, will not be included in interim rule, what else would be excluded from this interim rule. I think you excluded rule four for the ground, for the reason that it is yet to go to public comment. So what else would be in the interim rules?
You mean what else would be excluded from the interim rules?
Yes, what else you excluded? Rule four you excluded, and what else you excluded?
I have a feeling, Caboos, that we're not of agreement yet on types of hearing and potentially joinder, although it sounds like those two may close very quickly. And translations, we will see what Sam and Liz put on the list very shortly.
But David, it's about a month and so we are talking about this without any actions. When we have to take a serious action about the translation issue, about the joinder, about this hearing, and so on and so forth, let us have one or more meeting in order to, or not in order, with a view to have an agreement of all this, if possible. Why not?
No, it's a fair point, Caboos, that we've moved slowly on this. On the other hand, we need some participation and some help in this. I will promise to get out a statement about types of hearings and joinder within a week. And I know that Liz and Sam or Liz, you're willing to come out very shortly, like within the week on the translation issue. I hope. And then we can get this, we can move that along. But in the interim, we need to also keep our eye on getting a public comment ready for rule four. But go ahead, Liz, I'll let you, I'm sorry, Greg's hand is next.
Thanks, Greg Shatton, for the record. But in a sense, there's a little dilemma here because as Sam notes, currently the rules that are out there are still the old rules and not anything like the new rules at all. And so what Sam is doing here is trying to at least get a better set or a set of rules that are more aligned with the new IRP and out there. If we don't have a rule four in the interim rules at all, then it seems to me that the rule that's in the old rules would still apply unless we just left it silent and there was no rule on repose at all, which is not something that anybody intends. So none of the choices are perfect. We have a rule that some of us disagree with, or we have a rule that some of us disagree with and that has been at least put out once for public comment, or we have the old rule that nobody wants, or we have no rule at all. None of those are perfect. So I guess if rule four that's in the interim rules is what went out for public comment, it's still better to have that out there than no rule at all. I think that what would help me feel much more comfortable with that is that to say that when the final rules are adopted, they will be retroactive to the time the interim rules are adopted. So there won't be some awful transitional period where a different set of rules was in place for 2 or 3 months, and that if you had a time period that started during that time, you'd be barred, but if it happened 3 days later, you wouldn't be barred. So I think that would at least make the fact that the interim rules are at odds with where the final rules might end up, I think that blunts the concern about kind of, having an interim period that might kind of catch people in a catch-22, which is exactly what we're trying to avoid. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Nice suggestion. Liz, your hand's up.
So I appreciate what Greg just said. And I mean, I think one of the concerns that I have, if we don't put anything in it, in the interim rules about the time for filing, it might become an issue and we might harm the IRP process if we don't. it seems to me that as a group, we have agreed that at a minimum, we have agreed to the 120 days. So for the interim rules, what we haven't agreed upon is whether or not there's an outer limit or should be an outer limit. So for, I think that the intent here is in writing what we put in the interim rule is the part that we've agreed upon, which is the 120 days.
Thank you, Liz. Before I go to Caboose, let me thank Greg. It's a good suggestion that has some promise. And thank you, Liz. You're right. We have agreed the 120 days.
I'm just going to say that Liz didn't kind of respond to my actual suggestion, which was to have the final rules apply back to the interim rules. I had not suggested that no Rule 4 should be in there. My suggestion was that the Rule 4 should be in there as Sam put it out, but that it will be that the interim rules will, when they're replaced, be replaced back to the time the interim rules were adopted. So that's the point. She seemed to think that I had said that there should be no rule in there at all, and that's not the case. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Greg. I didn't hear it from Liz that way, so let's ask Liz, what did you mean that, Liz? I mean, well, I'm sorry. Go ahead and comment, if you would, to what Greg just said.
Right. So Greg, I wasn't implying that you said that. I was simply answering the question of what do we do about Rule 4. And so I wasn't intended to say that you were implying that there should be no Rule 4 at all whatsoever. I was just expressing what ICANN's concern is if we didn't have a Rule 4 because we don't have some agreement about certain parts of the Rule 4.
Thanks, Liz. Caboose, your hand's up. Go ahead. Caboose, if you're speaking, we're not hearing.
I am not convinced that why Rule 4, the way that has been now agreed by us to be sent for public comment, why it should not be included in the interim rules? Why?
Well,
this
I think
that's an important element. That's an important element. It should be included in interim.
Fair comment, Caboose. I think you're seconding what Greg and Liz were just saying.
Yes,
so,
certainly. Yes.
All right, thank you. Anyone else on this? And it sounds like a way forward. Let's hope, anyway. So then I need to come to the list on joinder and types of hearing. Liz and Sam need to come to the list on translations, and I will also try and wrap up what we just discussed about Greg's idea, which I think is a promising way to go. And so one way or another, we're moving towards getting a document out that would be interim rules, which is a good thing. So we're moving forward on two fronts, getting public comments on the Rule 4 and getting interim rules out, which if we follow the Greg proposal would be replaced by final rules that would be retroactive when we finally reach final rules. So any other comments? I see Caboose, is your hand back up or is that an old hand?
Yes, I don't know the system. In my computer, I see lower hand. The hand is lower already.
Okay. Well, it's maybe the screens are different. It shows on my screen, but thank you very much. So, without further comment, then we can move on and see if we can make any progress on elements. You'll see on agenda item number 4, I have elements and types of hearings, but I was not able to get something out for this meeting on types of hearings, and we've just discussed what I'll do on that respect. With respect to elements, a while back I said we ought to consider putting out a rule on elements. This is frankly a rule that is completely administrative. I don't know that it needs to go out for public comment, to be honest with you. But what I did was suggest a rule on elements that would be sort of in conjunction with whatever the ICDR requests. And I put it out. And then Caboose on the email list suggested adding something with respect to claims already submitted to IRP. And I added that, but I added it to the extent that, you know, the claimant is aware of it. Excuse me. I'm sorry about that. So I want to put this out for comment and see if there's, if we could agree on a rule for refining elements. And I see the first hand in the queue is Caboose. Go ahead, Caboose.
No, I don't have a hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I have no hand up. Yeah. Thank you.
I take it that nobody really objects to this. I think it's it would be good. In fact, the bylaws ask us to look at making a statement about elements. It's pretty straightforward, pretty basic. And so I'll go to Liz and say, we're going to confirm that this will be part of it and see if that draws any objections. And so that's where we are on that. We could actually perhaps end this meeting early. That brings us to agenda item number 5, any other business. And so I'll ask if there's any other business. And I'll actually bring up an item of any other business. It seems
I have
that,
one.
Oh,
I have
okay.
One other business. Yeah.
Go ahead, Caboose. Take the.
Next meeting and what element we have discussed. I think you promised something now, having all the situation, but the way that I proposed it at the beginning to put rules 4, then agreed by Greg and by Liz, and then the course of action proposed by Greg, we all agree with that, with the retroactive application, the transitional. So when this will be ready and when we put that for a discussion. Thank you.
Good question. Bernie, could you talk to us about meetings? I don't know that we'll be ready next Thursday, but maybe if it's possible, we ought to set a meeting for next Thursday and the following Thursday, both of them, to have a slot available if we need it, and to use the one that we can most quickly use. It might be 2 weeks from now. It might be next week. So, Bernie, could you talk to us a little bit about the next meeting?
Well, as it turns out, our dance card is rather free. Thursday, 31st of May, 1900 is available. And Thursday, 7 June 1900 is available. And Thursday, 14th June 1900 UTC is also available.
My suggestion would be to grab all three and not, I think the group should understand we're obviously not going to have three calls, or we probably won't have three calls. I shouldn't say obviously. And let's work towards Caboose brings up a good point. Let's have a meeting, the agenda on these items, and try and close them down. So that means typically that we would decide by next Tuesday whether we want the call to be next Thursday, and we'll do that on list. Would anybody else like to speak to meetings or have any other business? Liz, can I mention something to you in light of the next meeting? I would encourage you on ICANN's behalf and me, for what I've said I'd do, to try and get those out not later than Monday if that's possible. If you want to comment, Liz, you're welcome to. If not, we may wrap the call and I'll go through here. I don't see any hands. So I think we can end. I don't hear anyone or see any hands. And so I'm going to say, let's end this call early. And I would like to thank everybody for being here. And I look forward to our next meeting. I think we're making progress towards getting things out to where they need to be. One, to public comment, and two, interim rules getting ready to be released. So,
David, before you're ending, I have a very, very busy next week and week after. Would it be possible to have 1 hour, but not 1.5?
I think that's fair. Bernie, could you make those three meetings for 60 minutes?
Yes, we will, David.
Okay. Thanks, Brenda.
You're welcome.
Perfect. Any other hands? Greg, Monday's a holiday here in the U.S. I agree. But let's just see what we can do. And if we can't meet next Thursday, we won't, but let's do our best. And so I'll see you all on list, and I'll thank everybody for their participation, and see you next time. You can stop the recording. Thanks, everyone.